Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. And you listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
Time for that Monday basketball talk. As we get down to the final week of the regular season, yes, this is it. One more week of regular season basketball, and there was a lot to be had. We know the 10 teams in the Western Conference. We don't necessarily know the order. You take a look at the Eastern Conference. We know the 10 teams, but we don't necessarily know the order, and that's where we are sitting going into the final few days. And if you are a Los Angeles Laker fan, it has not been a good previous 7 days. We're going to talk about all that and more right now. Joining us over the phone, we have our NBA analyst, James Holis. James, always a pleasure to get you on. Can you believe it? This is it. This is the end of the regular season.
It has both dragged by like quicksand, and it's both been like lightning quick, because just like you said, like we're under six games. It's insane. And the playoffs are right here, so let's see what we got.
Let's start by talking about the Los Angeles Lakers. A week and a half ago, hottest team in the NBA, had the longest winning streak in the league. It appeared that LeBron had kind of settled into his spot, right, as the number three. Austin Reeves, Luka Doncic all playing great. We're talking about Luka potentially being an MVP candidate. And then, as fast as you can snap your fingers, Luka out indefinitely, Austin Reeves out 4 to 6 weeks, and now that big three is down to a big one with an aging LeBron James. And we have already seen what it looks like without Luka and Austin Reeves, and it wasn't good. The Lakers not only get pelted by OKC, but they lose to the Dallas Mavericks 138-128, or 134-128, excuse me. So now the Lakers in an identical tie with the Denver Nuggets as we get down to the final four games. Not a good spot to be in.
It's basically the worst of all worlds for the Lakers, right? This is just a cavalcade of just bad luck and misfortune hitting all at once. Like you said, Jay-Z said it was all good just a week ago. The Lakers did look like they were in a really good groove. People were starting to whisper about that contender status as they were, you know, very top-heavy, but the top was doing the work, right? Luka was playing like just right there neck and neck with any MVP candidate. Austin Reeves was running back into form, and LeBron was like a super Draymond, right? Doing all the other stuff, still being LeBron at times, capable of going for 40 if you needed him to, but, you know, at this advanced age in life, he was doing all the little things, playmaking and rebounding, and it really looked like I never thought LeBron would do it. So as a fan of the Celtics, I was grudgingly respectful of what they were doing because I don't like the Lakers, but they were proving me wrong. I thought they were basically dead in the water earlier this year, and they looked like they really were coming out of it. So as a fan of competition, I hate to see it go down this way. As a Laker hater, obviously I want to see their season go up in flames, but not this way. I don't want to see injuries derail a team. I never wish injury on anybody. So, I can only imagine how tough this is for Lakers fans out there.
And let me put this into perspective, try to use an analogy here for fans, be it a casual or diehard. It's kind of like a boxer. Right, it's kind of like, we'll use Mike Tyson, for instance. People always say, oh, you put Mike Tyson in the ring today and he's got a puncher's chance. No, he doesn't. And it goes back to along the same lines of LeBron. We are not going to just magically see 2011 LeBron. We are not magically going to see 2016 LeBron, simply because that version of LeBron James does not exist anymore. Why? Because Father Time is undefeated. This is not a guy that can put a franchise on his back and lead them to an NBA championship. He hasn't been that guy for the last few seasons. He's certainly not going to be that guy now. So this idea that the Lakers have a puncher's chance with LeBron James, it simply doesn't exist the way it would have existed 7-8 years ago.
And I will say, it's more out of, like, you nailed it, but it's, I think the different perspective is it's out of respect for LeBron people are saying
sure.
These things, right?
Sure.
People, they love and they revere what he was, what has been, and they respect what he means to the game. So it's like while he's still playing, they're trying to like give him this legendary status, which is, you know, it's not really fair to him, right? Obviously not. And this is, like you just said, like it's physically impossible to do these things. And you nailed it. He hasn't been that the tide that lifts all boats for years now. Right, there was a time you put LeBron James on any team, you give him some competent NBA players, he's going to give you a puncher's chance against anybody in a short series. And that's just not who he is anymore, right? Father Time, we like to say he looks the same. He doesn't look the same. LeBron doesn't look the same. Father Time has done a number on him. So we weren't sure how his career was going to end. We're still not sure. We don't know what happens next year. But it looked like he was prepared to, you know, maybe have a legendary twilight run here, show up in the playoffs, have a couple big games, and really turn a series or two, and maybe work some LeBron and Luka magic. But sadly, we're not going to see that. It's going to probably end up being pretty ugly toward the end of here for Lakers.
Okay, so let's say, for all intents and purposes, their season is over with, which I believe it is, because even if you get Luka back, we'll say in 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, I don't think it's going to matter at that point. We know the West is extremely good, 1-6. We know this to be a fact. Can we comfortably say, with the Lakers out of the equation, it is Oklahoma City, San Antonio, and Denver? Like, we can nail it down to three, I'm going to say, realistic contenders in the Western Conference. Is that fair to say?
I agree. I still think the Thunder are maybe the odds-on favorite, and you know, I'm pretty sure Vegas says the same thing. But Denver has really turned around lately. They had a little swoon there when Joker came back from his injury, and they looked pretty bad. But they're looking a lot better now. And the Spurs, it's funny because the Spurs have been dynamite, lights out for the last 2.5 months. They only gained like a game on the Thunder because the Thunder have still been that good. So I agree that the Thunder, the Spurs, and then maybe maybe a half, like a quarter step behind them are the Nuggets, but those are the clear head and shoulders favorites out West, yes.
And I don't think this has really been talked about. Well, it's doomsday for the Lakers, and I get that. The Thunder might be the biggest winner in this whole scenario. And my thought process behind this is Denver did not hold the tiebreaker with the Lakers. The Lakers won that season set. So when there was a healthy LeBron and Luka and Austin Reeves, it looked as if Denver was going to be the 4 seed. Everyone now fully expects Denver to climb LA and get that 3 spot. Oklahoma City's the biggest winner in this scenario because that puts Denver and San Antonio on the same side of the bracket. And I don't know if that's really been talked about.
That's a really good point. I didn't think about that. Because, yeah, that just, you know, if you let your opponents take each other out and then you got to take out one of them after being, you know, after a tough battle, then that is a win for the Thunder. Also, I think a lot of teams were, you know, we can't use the untested thing for the Thunder anymore. They won a championship last year. But you do have LeBron James and Luka, two of the best kind of clutch, you know, big game players. And I'm pretty sure OKC wouldn't want to see them, right? They're not scared of anyone, but you know that would have given them some pause. So yeah, just one more big piece off the board, and that kind of opens the path up a little more for OKC. That's why you're good, right? Lucky and good go hand in hand.
No, 100%. 100%, especially when you're trying to, you know, we can go ahead and use the term dynasty, right? I think if you win 2 or 3, I'm going to say 3. If you can get there 3 times, you know, you can go ahead and call yourself a dynasty in that generation. Dynasties do not occur without luck. And that's something else. And that's no disrespect to any team that has created a dynasty, but that is just factual. You do not get those without a little bit of luck.
You don't win any championship. That's why a championship is 100%, it's a bunch of things. Effort, talent, and it always takes luck. You're going to have a lucky break, be it a lucky shot, a lucky injury to the other team, a lucky suspension for the other team. It's going to be there, and you don't win without a little bit of luck. So 100%, and this is just a bad, bad luck season for the Lakers. And we just talked about it a little bit. They've had a string of bad luck. And this is what happens, I guess. I can't even say anything about the 40-plus-year-old LeBron, because it's not LeBron. This is Luka, who has a history of kind of thing. This is a young guy like Austin Reeves, who's young and pretty healthy, but has last couple seasons, he's missed games with a kind of like a myriad of injuries. So just terrible injury luck for the Lakers. And so for the fan base, I'm not going to celebrate, but it's still the Lakers fans. I can't feel too bad.
Again, James Hollis joining us right now as we talk some NBA basketball. James, let's flip over. We'll talk about the Eastern Conference. Same thing. We know which 10 teams are going to be there. However, this final week of the season could change things drastically. Number 10 to number 6 in the East, only 2 games separating. Philly right now, number 6. Miami would go in as the 10. We talked last week about the Orlando Magic and just how, really, this has been a disappointing season. I don't know if there's a team that has had a more disappointing season than Orlando, but here we go into the final week, 6-10, 2 games separating. I mean, that's huge in the Eastern Conference.
That's amazing in the Eastern Conference. In the East, I think for the first time, it's maybe arguably better overall top to bottom, or at least playoff teams, than the West. But the very bottom of the Eastern playoff run does not look very good. Just not a very good look. Philly's been a mess. Atlanta's been incredible. I don't know if you know this, but they're 13-2 in their last 15 games, right there behind San Antonio. The East is pretty much set, almost like the West, where we know that I'm pretty sure Boston, the Knicks, and who's our third team?
Cleveland.
Even Cleveland's been kind of a mess, right? They have top-end talent, so I know the record is not bad, and they're Cleveland. But I think that kind of the Knicks and Boston have kind of differentiated themselves in the East, with Cleveland maybe a full step below them. There's quality teams out East, obviously, like we said, Atlanta. Detroit, if Cade can come back and be at least most of his former self, they're right there too. But that looks like another debilitating injury that kind of derailed the season. It's going to be really interesting out East.
Depending on what happens with Cade, right? I mean, I will say this about Detroit. When the injury was announced and we knew he was going to be missing significant time, I really expected Boston to overtake Detroit. And even though they've gone up against, they've gotten a lot of wins against not great talent, right? I mean, at the same sense, they have been competitive. You know, you go back to that OKC game on the road, they suffered a 4-point loss. They took care of business against Toronto. They took care of business against Minnesota. They took care of business against Philly. I give them full credit because I didn't see this happening after the Cade injury. I really thought Boston would go into the East as the one seed.
Well, it's funny because we know that Cade Cunningham is the straw that stirs the Pistons drink. And that was a big, big part of his MVP push, right? The MVP talk and first team All-NBA. And deservedly so, but we are seeing that this team is more than just Cade and a bunch of guys. We are seeing that there has been a definite cultural shift in Detroit where they're not just a good player and a bunch of guys playing hard. They're actually a deep, talented, hungry team that's proving it, right? Because if Cade goes down and they almost, sure, they're not, the ceiling's not as high, but they still scrap, they still play defense, and they still are winning games. So that means a lot. Long-term, I think, for the Pistons and their fan base. And they deserve this, right? This is the first time in the playoffs in, I don't know, almost 20 years, I think, if I remember correctly, or it, making a, actually being like a good team in almost 20 years. So it's funny how we can shift perspective a little bit. Cade goes down, yet the Pistons are still kind of rolling. So that's an interesting little nugget to see moving forward.
All right, I'm going to play off of what you just said, an interesting little nugget. How about the news today that former Nugget NBA champion coach Mike Malone has a new gig? He's going to go to the college game. He's the next head coach of North Carolina. I was a little bit surprised to see this today, but I don't necessarily hate the fit. In fact, I'm kind of curious to see how this all plays out.
You know what? You just taught me that right now. I didn't even know.
Okay.
Really good. That's really good because he almost has a more college mentality, right?
He does, yes.
Scared to coach his guys hard. He wasn't scared to be no nonsense, no BS. Very direct and very blunt. And now, especially with the college game, it's going to resonate a lot better. Luckily, he had a guy like Joker who, you know, Joker didn't give him any guff. And when you can coach your best player that way, everyone else falls in line with Denver. But, that's a really good pickup for them. North Carolina is one of the premier college jobs to have. He is a great basketball mind. I think he proved himself in Denver, not just by winning a championship. The offense was great, and he made full use of Joker, and Joker really boomed under him. So I liked it. I liked that move a lot for him. I thought he kind of maybe got a bum rap in Denver, or maybe it was just expired. And I like to hear him on TV, so I know that he has a sharp basketball mind. This is good for both the NCAA and for Mike Malone.
I agree, and to me it was just a matter of time before he landed on his feet and he got a prominent job, because again, wins an NBA championship with the Denver Nuggets was not bad when he was with Sacramento. I think he's got 470 wins in the NBA, but he's been an NBA coach for a really long time, right? So how does that translate to the college game today? I think that's the big question here, but you said something a few moments ago. He kind of has that college attitude, and I can remember the championship parade, and I remember, and Laker fans were disgusted by some of the things that Mike Malone was saying, and I specifically remember thinking, like, this is the type of language and demeanor that kids love. I wasn't even thinking about it from a college perspective. I was just thinking about the kids, you know, the younger generation of NBA fans. They ate it up. They loved it. I think it translates well to the college game, James.
I think it does, too. And, again, I think we've seen, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, I'm not a huge college guy, but a lot of the schematically, the way that the basketball has been played these days, a lot of it now is just shifted like almost completely over. It's not just like, oh, this is, works in college, it won't work in the pros. It's all about pacing space. It's about movement off the ball. It's about generating good threes and getting to the rim. And, like, that doesn't change. That's just basketball nowadays, right? Before, college was just a completely different animal. And also now, with the, I guess, with college, a lot more zone-heavy, that kind of thing, like, that's gonna help, because we know that college athletes are still top-tier athletes, might not be as talented. So Mike Malone could use that to his advantage now. I think it's like a hand-in-glove fit, him at a premier college where he's going to, and him being there, is going to draw big names. So he's probably going to, his next recruiting class is probably going to be a monster. So I'm actually tuning into some college games. I like that kid Caleb Wilson they had this year, mm-hmm. who's definitely better to go pro. So let's see who they fill in the gaps with next year in North Carolina.
Yeah, I think it definitely adds a little bit of intrigue, especially with the national championship game rolling in tonight. Again, we get UConn, we get Michigan. I know you and I, we don't spend a ton of time talking college basketball. Do you have any interest in the Natty tonight?
I might tune in, and if it catches me, catch me. I don't know any of the players. I haven't watched anything, though. But I know this is going to be high-level basketball. I know, I even as someone who doesn't really watch college, I know something about it brings out the best in these teams, and there is so much magic that happens. Like, more than in the pros where, you know, sure, the fan base gets things going and the crowd. No, this is a different level where these guys, like, go next level in the tournament. So I'll tune in.
All right, since we're talking about some youngsters, I'm not huge on these individual awards. I mean, we haven't talked a lot about the MVP and, you know, all the uproar about applying for an extension if a player goes down and he misses the threshold, yada, 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 yada. However, after watching Cooper Flagg absolutely obliterate the Los Angeles Lakers, he's the rookie of the year, and it's not even close, right? I mean, is that the best rookie you've seen in the NBA and really one of the best rookies you've seen in quite some time in the NBA?
You know what? I'm going to give you a gentle pushback because I think he's incredible. He's a future multiple-time All-Star. He is a future probably MVP candidate down the road, depending on who he's against, because we know Wemby right now is – Wemby looks like he's going to terrorize the NBA for the
Correct.
Next decade.
Yep.
Colin Knipple. Okay. Colin Knipple has been yep. really, really good. The numbers are not that far off overall. He hasn't had the super high explosive performances of your boy, Cooper Flagg, but – the shooting has been incredible. All-time great rookie three-point shooting. I think, if I remember correctly, he's leading the NBA in threes as a rookie. And his addition, and not obviously not his alone. They also got the center. I don't want to butcher his name in Charlotte. They really got to play on the young bouncy center. But they added him, and he got more prominent minutes as Colin Knipple. And now the Charlotte Hornets have been one of the best teams in the NBA over the last maybe almost half a season. And he's been a big part of that, his shooting and his activity and his defense. So I get it. We want to, you know, Cooper Flagg, I think, I agree. I think Cooper Flagg should be just the raw numbers and this, the athleticism pops in a certain way. But we got to give Colin Knipple his flowers. He's been right there. And as a pro, he came out of nowhere. It's almost like, if you want to say relative to Cooper, he's actually blown expectations out of the water. So, but it's probably not the sexy pick. So I'm going to join you and say Cooper probably is hands down the rookie of the year.
And I'm going to be the first to admit, when Utah had the opportunity to draft Ace Bailey, I'm like, this is the guy you want over Colin Knipple anyway. I don't know, man. I might have been off on that assessment.
Yeah, Khan's going to be good for years to come. Ace has looked better lately.
Yeah, yes.
These guys don't matter, but I get it. But, yeah, Khan, that guy, I had no idea who he was. I watched a little college tape on him. I knew he could shoot. He is incredible as a basketball player.
He is James Holis, taking out the time to join us every Monday for a little NBA talk. James, by the time you and I speak again next week, things are going to look a little bit different. We're going to be preparing for the play-in round. We're going to know exactly where we stand as far as all things in the postseason, because the final day of the regular season is coming up on Sunday. I can't wait. It's always a pleasure to get you on. Where can we find more of you heading into the final 6 days or so of the regular season?
Mostly talking on I'm still going to call it Twitter, about how Jason Tatum in his last five or six games is averaging almost 25, 12, and 8 with only two turnovers, and Boston is undefeated in those games. Because the Celtics right now, I think I've done a U-turn to the last talk where I was like, maybe not. We'll see in the playoffs. He's been incredible. And at Snotty Drippin', which is an homage to the great NBA player Scottie Pippen. Just change a couple letters, and yeah, I just now, I, you know what? I think I might be in my swan song for my social media life too, because I'm barely on there. But come over there and find me, and let's talk some basketball.
Always a pleasure to get you on, James. Can't wait to do it again next week. I appreciate the time.
You're the man. Let's go.
And with that, we are out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. It's always fun to be along with you on the afternoon drive. We're going to be back to do it again tomorrow. It'll be Football Tuesday here on Drive Time Sports, so we'll talk about that. Also, do not forget tonight, national championship game. We're giving away $1,000. The numbers on our big board have been posted to our Facebook page, KOAL's Drive Time Sports. I'll be contacting the winners tonight. Enjoy the national championship game. We'll do it again tomorrow. Be safe. I am out.